Hi, my name is Marcella Evans. I'm 39 years old. Today is February 3rd, 2023. We're in El Paso, Texas, and my interview partner is Marcus Cunningham, who is my spouse.
Hello, my name is Marcus Cunningham. I am 35 years old. Today is February 3rd, 2023. We're here in El Paso, Texas. My interview partner is Marcella Evans, who is my spouse. So, and we're going to jump right in. I think we wanted to first talk about our move to El Paso.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're from the North Texas area. I was born and raised in Dallas. Marcel was born and raised in Arlington, Texas.
Not Dallas.
Not Dallas.
Not from Dallas.
Yeah. Very same but different for folks who know the area. And we moved here to El Paso in June of 2022. So we've been here for, 8 months now?
Mm-hmm.
And we came here because of an opportunity that really just couldn't be refused, that Marcella was presented with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did. It was this really wonderful chance to work with a new organization doing work similar to what I had done before, but also moving me in the direction that I wanted to go. So I've done work as an attorney with immigrant children, and this opportunity that I have now is to manage a team doing that same work and to build in the good habits that I found really necessary and oddly was able to develop during COVID, doing a lot of the remote work possibilities.
Yeah, and I'm along for the ride because my work is fully remote. So I'm a fundraiser. I now work for an organization that's based on the West Coast that does movement building work, basically. And so I'm working from home, talking with folks around the country. And so really I just picked up my office as we were moving and we just moved across state.
Do you want to tell folks about your new office views?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it is, Dallas to El Paso is different in a lot of ways. But I think it's really nice because, you know, we were able to find space that really worked for us. We both needed office space at home. And we wanted space to run around and grow and have people over and all that, like all that fun stuff. And so when I'm working at home, I have this, you know, wonderful view of the mountains. So we have mountains, right? We have mountains right across the border in Juarez, and we have mountains right across, almost across the street from my house. Here in El Paso, and so it is really just this wonderful vista to have on a day-to-day basis. It's not something that I've ever had, and I got very quickly I got used to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely same here. When I drive to and from work, I get to see mountains in all directions, and that combination of mountains and desert in El Paso has been one of my favorite differences and favorite changes from Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. And we say this a lot, and I think the more you do it, the more it becomes true that the distance between places in Texas is just so vast. You know, it's a 10-hour drive to get from Dallas to El Paso. Like, you cross any other part of the United States, you're crossing multiple states to get to the same place. And here, you know, we've crossed a state, we've crossed a time zone, we've crossed an electric grid. I think almost everything is different. Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm curious how it's felt for you, the distance and being away from home, because I think that distance is a little different for me than what I anticipated it being.
Yeah, it is. It's the same and different than other times when I've been away from home, right? So I'm not as well traveled as you in terms of living, but I have lived in, you know, several places across Texas and really in different, like completely different points across Texas. So I lived in the Rio Grande Valley for 5 years when I was in college. Also on the border, right? So it's a lot of the same border, a lot of the same border culture, but also different because it's different, literally, again, different parts of the state and different parts of Mexico. And that felt accessible in a different way, because I think at that time, this was, obviously pre-pandemic, this was almost more than a decade ago. Hopping on a Greyhound to get home didn't feel like much of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think just because of the type of travel that it requires to get to El Paso, there's a kind of a gap in distance, right? Because mm-hmm. it's an effort for us to get home. Like we have to drive, or we have to fly. Like the flights themselves are fast, but they're also not cheap. So it is a choice every single time that we go home or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, moving away, like I was in the valley, came back home almost a decade ago at this point, and leaving home again a decade older, wiser, it is different in that way, because I do feel like I have the skills to stay connected with a lot of my community, and I didn't necessarily have that the first time I did it.
That's really cool.
Now, what about you?
I realized when we were kind of talking about this earlier, I actually have lived near a different border. I was up in Michigan,
yeah,
and that was right at the border with Canada, and I hadn't even thought of it because it was a completely different experience. That is really interesting for me to think about, both as an immigration attorney and just mm-hmm. in general. So that's something I definitely am going to think more about now. But it has been, I think, this is my first time having moved as a professional instead of as a student mm-hmm. or right after school. Mm-hmm. And it has been different. It makes me realize how much of a community that I had and that we had in Dallas, not just coming from there, but having moved back after school and really having spent about a decade creating a life there before I moved again. I think that's something that I took for granted when we were home. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to build it here, but it is different not having it and not instantly knowing somebody or how something works.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. I think that we can't really talk about the move without talking about the events that preceded it, right? all of them, basically.
Yeah.
I think that the journey, the really very much the journey between, when the pandemic started mm-hmm. almost 2 years ago to now, it is, there's a lot of ways to describe it. It's been illuminating. It's been, obviously different.
Three years ago. Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Okay. Gosh. So yeah. So when the pandemic started and we were living in Dallas, obviously we weren't working remotely yet. It was just a completely different vibe. We had just moved into this new apartment. Mm-hmm. With lots of open space near White Rock Lake, if you're familiar with Dallas, and we really wanted in the nicest apartment that either one of us had ever lived in. Mm-hmm. All right, so we were just ready for a completely different lifestyle.
And then we had to put up a barrier. I think that was like a very physical symbol of change.
Yeah,
that we had this beautiful open space specifically selected for entertainment and community building. And then we had to put up a wall between us because remote work was really challenging, having two people working out of a big open space.
Yeah. So why do we have to put up the barrier, Marcella?
why do you ask, Marcus? Definitely because one of us, me, didn't have to actually get camera ready, and one of us, you, had to be on camera. And quickly I realized that I could be seen in the background of your Zoom meetings in my pajamas.
Yep.
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 That's cool.
Yeah.
It's always a fun way to meet your partners, coworkers, and colleagues.
Yeah. Are you talking about, maybe 15 feet of space, probably less than that. Less than that between our two desks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we got real cozy real quick.
Real cozy. That was real fun.
Yeah.
We did have one good party before the pandemic hit, though.
That's true.
And we hosted family Christmas for the first time.
Yeah, we hosted family Christmas for the first time, and that was also the first time our families had celebrated Christmas together. Is that right?
I think, maybe.
Maybe.
I think that there had been some pop-ins, a full celebration.
Right, not like a full planned celebration.
It was the first time that Gabe and Liberty had been part of it, though.
That's true, yeah.
So.
No.
We had our full set of sibling accompaniments with us.
Mm-hmm.
That was real fun.
Yeah. Tell you, we did get to do that. That was great.
That was great.
Yeah.
It occurs to me as you say this that more than half of our relationship has been spent during pandemic times.
Yeah.
So we're going into year 5.
Yeah, that's right.
About to be. We're not quite at 5 yet. Not
close. Couple months.
And we have 3 months of pandemic time.
Yeah.
Or 3 years, rather.
Yeah.
How have you seen that affect our relationship?
Oh, goodness. So I think about the before times. we met obviously. You were working at the time that we met, you were working full time. I had just gotten laid off, so I was still looking for a job, and so we obviously spent less time with each other mm-hmm. because you were away at work, and I was either at home or off doing some of the consulting work that I was doing at the time, and so I think at the beginning we obviously didn't have as much time together, mm-hmm. We were meshing, but obviously not to the degree that the pandemic created, right? And so mm-hmm. once the pandemic hit, we had lots of time with each other.
Lots of time.
we had to do things to not go stir crazy, right? Like mm-hmm. a lot of people. But that meant, you know, lots of time hanging out together at home. That meant lots of time, you know, going on walks.
Mm-hmm.
That meant, you know, really finding and cherishing those times where we did get to see our families,
mm-hmm.
Both of them. And so there's just a lot of closeness that I think we definitely wouldn't have got, but for the pandemic.
No, I definitely think you're right.
No. I think that, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think that helped, right? Because we got to know each other faster than we would have otherwise. And so in that sense, I think it was beneficial. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention the fact that we got married during the pandemic. you wanna start that story?
No, I was gonna ask you to start that story.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. So by the time the pandemic hit, we're already a couple years into our relationship,
mm-hmm.
And we had we had talked about future plans, right? Like we had talked about a number of different things and in different ways that our future could manifest. And I know I had been a little bit slow on mm-hmm. like actually. You know, moving things forward.
I have a question. How did our engagement manifest?
Probably gonna tell this properly. So one day we woke up, and we had been talking. I'm sure we had been talking, kind of talking about it before, like a couple days before. And you turned to me and you asked me, you know, basically, like, are we doing this? Right? Like, do you want to get married? And I was like, yes, yes, I do. And that was the engagement.
I'm really happy that you recall it as a request because I'm pretty sure that I recall it as me telling you that I thought we should get married, and I'm really happy that you felt that you had agency in that, other than me stating that it was time.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, the thought of saying no never actually crossed my mind, so.
Well, good. Really pleased that that's the case, because we're here.
Yeah.
2 years later.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we got fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we got engaged in the fall.
We got engaged in October, like end of October.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to, I mean, obviously we couldn't do a huge wedding. Didn't really want to like go through the process of like setting up an outside wedding. Even though in hindsight, we would have been fine with that.
No, we tried to, remember?
Oh, did we try to?
We did.
Yeah.
We kept watching COVID numbers and we tried to set up an outside wedding.
Yeah.
And then it just kept getting too high.
That's right. That's right.
And so we ended up with our small.
Because we had a much larger guest list.
Okay, we did.
I remember now.
We did. It was just family and it was huge.
Yeah.
It was a lot of family.
Yeah.
Which was really fun.
Yeah.
So
we pivoted.
We pivoted and we had 7 people.
Yeah.
Including us.
Yeah.
Which was really great.
7 people in person, to be clear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. We did the great big internet wedding.
Yes.
It was really fun.
Yeah. So we did a Zoom wedding. So we had 7 people there, mostly our parents. And we did the rest on Zoom. Like we set up a camera. Set up a Zoom link, invited folks. We did it at your parents', like on your parents' patio.
Oh, do you remember it was supposed to be out by the lake?
Yeah.
And then it sleeted. And so patio it was.
Yeah. It was real cold that day.
Oh, it was so cold.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't thought a whole bunch about how fantastic it was actually to have the Zoom wedding, because we were able to invite all the people we loved to join us on that day.
Yeah.
Without any of the consideration of cost, which is not something that I'm used to in life.
Yeah. That's real.
And that was really cool.
Yeah. And the response was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had so many people, like, we had folks. It was New Year's Eve. So we had folks calling in from work. We had, you know, we had folks and their family like crowded around a webcam.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the entire assortment of our community gathered, and that was really humbling to see.
Yeah, it really was. It was a really fantastic show of community support, and something that we have preserved because we recorded it.
Yeah.
Which was really lovely.
Yeah. So, yeah. We got married on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve 2020.
Going strong.
Yeah.
One day we'll have a true in-person gathering.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened just yet, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there.
We will.
It'll be great whenever it does happen.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you want to talk about between then and now, and how we got here?
So, between then and now, I mean, so many other things happened. Right, we had multiple moves, just because we were trying to find the right space for us. And obviously, the sitting back to back from each other didn't last long. So you know, we found space, we found new jobs,
we found new pets.
that's definitely what we should talk about.
Pets.
So I think we have to start with OG, because he was here before me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Judge, the perpetual energizing ball of love and sass, apparently, with you.
Yeah.
He was my buddy, but y'all had some moments.
Yeah, we had a relationship. It was like
I mean, it wasn't just, to be fair, it wasn't just you. Judge was 65 pounds of my protector.
Yeah.
And just me.
Yeah.
And if he was amenable, somebody else got to come into my life.
Yeah.
He liked you better than anybody else, yeah, to be clear. He just didn't listen to you.
Yeah.
At all. It's, yeah, fine.
It's fine. Judge was actually the pre-pandemic, like we actually did spend a whole lot of time with each other.
That's true.
And so we actually, like, even before the pandemic, we had a lot of time to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Judge, we went on adventures. You know, we did the walks. He would request and almost need, you know, a couple miles a day in terms of walking.
Six miles a day
is a lot.
As like a 10-year-old dog.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. And I've done like 6 miles of walking like twice in my life before I met you. So
I really appreciate that you've joined me in being a walker.
Yeah.
That was a necessity, yeah, for this to work, I think.
Yeah.
Not just because of Judge.
Mm. I see that now.
Really, the walking wasn't just the dog.
Yeah.
The walking was for me as well.
Absolutely.
That's good to know you've realized that.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is with us now, pet-wise?
So now we have three pets. Let's go in chronological order because all the stories are fun. So the first one we met is this large orange cat that is named Purrus because
Purrus crawled inside of a Prius and got stuck, or maybe didn't, but screamed because this is apparently what he does.
Yeah.
And our friend's dad, in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of bad weather, had to disassemble the front end of a car to pull out a tiny kitten.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tiny at that point. And he was sleek. And he looked like he was just going to be this itty-bitty little orange thing.
Nah.
15 yeah. pounds and a lot of fur later.
Yeah.
He's a giant orange barn cat who screams.
Yeah. yeah.
He thinks he's roaring, though.
No, he does.
He does. It is not. It is yeah. not a roar.
Yeah, no. Like when he catches the birds in the backyard, it's just...
Does he catch birds?
No, sorry. When I say catch, I mean catches his eye. When oh, okay. catch his eye.
I was terrified. Well, he's a barn cat, and his barn cat instincts are still really strong, so he yeah. catches bugs.
Yeah, he catches bugs. He caught the one
the
mouse.
Wasp.
Yeah.
I forgot about the mouse.
Yeah, that was a mouse.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
So, he was the only one equipped for that.
That is true.
You, me, the other cat...
No, nobody.
None of us were.
Yeah.
Just him.
He was 100% up to the task.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, yeah. So we have Purrus. Second cat that we found, we were walking, like we were on a walk.
With Judge still.
With Judge, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we hear this screaming, and we're like, this is it. I mean, it's like 6 o'clock at night. The sun's going down, and we're walking through our apartment complex. And we hear this screaming, and we're like, you know, what is that?
I think my question was, is that a bird or a cat?
Yeah.
And your answer was, it's a cat, and it's right there.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then, just on absolute instinct, I guess, you grab the cat to console it.
And yes, I did.
Yes. And I was immediately like, what are you doing?
You told me to put her down, but she had stopped screaming.
She did.
So I didn't want to put her down.
Yeah. And we it took us a second to kind of, you know, take stock of the situation. But what we knew is that we had seen a mama cat a couple of days mm-hmm. earlier. We had actually seen, you know, animal control come through.
The night before,
mm-hmm. yeah. So we very quickly realized that she had very likely gotten separated from her family.
Yeah, and we stood there for a while waiting for Mama Cat to come.
Yep, and hopefully not attack us.
Yeah, I know you were really afraid of that.
Yeah. Yep.
I had less fear about that because there was a tiny kitten in my hands.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized that it wasn't happening. And
no one was coming back.
No one was coming back. So we, you know, we take her up to our place, and we get her set up in the bathroom because that's the only place that, you know, mm-hmm. that's the only place that we can have her protected. And you know,
from the other kitten.
From the other kitten.
And the dog.
And the dog, who are just mm-hmm. curious.
Just curious.
No, they just want to hang out. No.
Well, you still thought you were taking her back outside, remember?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You thought, what you said is we would take her up just for a couple hours,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd take her back out at night,
mm-hmm.
and then the temperature dropped.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is actually a terrible idea.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Three years later.
Yeah.
With another cat. What's her name?
Yeah. So her name is Rara the Dungeon Dragon. Which I'm really sad that a shockingly low percentage of my folks get the reference. Like y'all know me. Like how do y'all not know that this is a Tribe Called Quest reference? Like the handful of folks who have gotten it, I've really appreciated over the last couple of years.
I know you really that's been a disappointment for you.
Yeah.
Because you really thought that this was going to be something people picked up on more.
Yeah.
They just didn't have it associated with a kitten.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose.
Yeah.
We still call her the kitten.
Yeah.
She's a little bigger than she used to be.
It's a little bit, but still very much a kitten. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two cats. And then the newest, even though it's been almost a year and a half at this point.
No, not quite.
No.
I think it's right. We're right at a year, aren't we? We're right at a year.
Oh, wow.
I got
him. Yeah.
It just... Yeah. I can tell this one.
Yeah, go
apparently.
For it.
Yeah. I went up to Oklahoma to visit friends, which was a whole lot easier when we were in Dallas. And I met a puppy at the dog park. And he wasn't supposed to be at the dog park, but he was. And now he's ours.
Yeah.
I asked you first. I did.
I mean, I get a text message like, oh, can we keep him? And I was like, what?
that is accurate.
Yeah.
And I did not get him that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not get him that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got home, we talked about it.
Yeah.
We submitted the application.
Yeah.
And it was approved instantly. And so then we drove all the way up to Oklahoma again to get a dog.
Yeah.
And drove him home.
Yeah.
And I remember that picture of the first day. His face was like, what is going on? I don't understand this.
I don't even think I want to be here.
I know. No, yeah. He didn't. He wasn't certain.
Yeah.
But now Henry will not leave our sides.
Yeah.
And he's a very good dog.
Yes.
Although he was I thought he was a terrible dog. He was just a giant cat.
Yeah.
Because he'd only had cats.
Yeah.
And dog daycare has really helped.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's learned how to dog, which I really appreciate because he's almost 60 pounds himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of inconvenient to have a 60-pound dog laying in your lap.
Like a cat.
Like a cat.
I think I'm going to use Henry to transition us to things that we've had the opportunity to do in El Paso that we weren't doing in Dallas.
Yeah.
So Henry has had the opportunity to go to daycare a whole lot mm-hmm. in El Paso
mm-hmm.
because it is much more accessible for him to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really great because he's learned how to dog.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm curious what opportunities you feel like El Paso has offered you that you weren't necessarily able to access in Dallas.
I mean, we have to talk about the big one, right? Which is the ability to buy a house.
Yes, definitely that.
Yeah. So we had actually tried to buy a house in Dallas during the pandemic. And how Dallas housing prices just like inside the city and around the city, right? Like they had just gotten to the point where they were completely inaccessible
yeah.
to most folks. right? Like us, it's two professionals with fairly deep in our careers. It was very hard to get a house.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually were in the process of closing on a house, and it didn't it fell through. We realized in hindsight that it wasn't going to be the right fit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But once we found out that we were moving to El Paso, we looked at the housing market here, and we were like, so the rental market isn't actually a whole lot better than in Dallas, but the housing market is absolutely great. And so, we very quickly rallied to work on the house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really one of the biggest things, I think, for me as well, that we were able to find not just any house, but a really lovely place for us that is probably beyond one of my wildest imaginations. And that's been, I feel like I've had opportunities like that in El Paso other than the house, but the house was kind of the tone setter for that. Just moving into this smaller community, there's just less competition for certain things, but so many opportunities.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true.
Honestly, this being one of them, being here with StoryCorps.
Yeah.
When this was presented to us, I was thinking that this was the coolest. It's a dream. And I know I've looked when it's come through Dallas before, and we haven't been able to get a slot, or I haven't been able to, but here we are.
Yeah.
So that's been really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a lot of those little things. It's being able to, it's having access to mountains. It's having, right. It's having access to, having actual walkability, which is really nice. Like being able to walk to, we've been able to walk to a UTEP game because we're near a university.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to do a lot of those little things that really don't present themselves in Dallas, for a number of reasons, for access, for largeness, for for expense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all that is very true.
Yeah. No, and I think the one thing that, truly the one thing that I haven't had access to, and again, it's just because we haven't been here that long, it's like that access to community.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it exists here. Like, I know that, me as a black man from inner city Dallas, like being able to see the history of black people in El Paso, and being able to feel it in a lot of places, right? Like, you can go to the McCall Center in near downtown El Paso and like see the history that exists there. And, being able to see how people have shifted through a lot of people through the military, right? But have shifted through El Paso and have called it home. So like, that is the thing, like that is a big thing that I haven't yet done that I'm looking forward to doing.
I'm looking forward to doing that with you as well. And I will be interested to see how that develops for you. I think that we have spent time getting ourselves settled and our foundations laid in this new place. And we're ready to move forward, and we're ready to really deepen our roots and explore it for no matter how long we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask the question.
So. No, ask the question. Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe the final question is like, what else are you looking forward to in the near future?
Oh, that's funny.
In the far future.
I was going to ask you what you saw our future holding.
Yeah.
So similar questions. I think I'm looking forward to continuing our adventure.
Mm.
This was a huge step and a huge adventure and risk taking, which is more my style and less yours, and I'm looking forward to continuing on and making more brave choices like we have now, no matter where it takes us. What about you?
Yeah, very much the same. I'm looking forward to continuing our adventure. I'm looking forward to really, you know, you've talked about how life is slower here, like really being able to slow down and be present for a lot of good things that are about to happen. There are a lot of good things that will happen, right, in the course of us living here. Looking forward to, I mean, I'm just looking forward to the everyday things, right? Like we wanna go on more walks, we wanna go biking, right? Like we wanna go hiking. Like these are again these things that we know are important to us, but it's, you know, it's us, and it's this place, and we have this chance to really be comfortable in our new community and be comfortable with each other. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to, I feel like we're both in a place where good things are going to happen, where good things will happen, both personally and professionally.
Oh, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and so I'm just looking forward to see what that yields for us.
I agree. I definitely agree. It'll be really wonderful. I think it's been almost 5 years, many of them very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not just weathered them, but really worked together to come through for each other and for our communities, for our families. Not just making it through, but making it through well.
Yeah.
And creating the now with an eye towards creating the future.
Yeah.
I love doing that with you.
Yeah, same.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Marcella. This has been a lot of fun.
It really has. Yeah. Marcus, I appreciate you.
Absolutely.